Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And today, as you know, we get ready for our Thanksgiving meal, and as we get ready for Thanksgiving, you know, the greatest thing that you and I have to be thankful for is Jesus Christ. And so today, we're going to answer the question, who is Jesus Christ? And we're going to see three powerful testimonies as to who Jesus Christ is. And when people realize who Jesus Christ is, the only response is change. People are changed by the incredible grace of God. Well, this past week, I was able to go to the state convention, and I was super excited about getting to eat at one of my favorite places. When I went to North Greenville, over in the area, there was a Copper River Grill, and I loved to go there. And the last few times I was in Columbia, you know, there was one over there by the mall, which is where the convention was being hosted at a church over there by Harborson Mall area. So we get out of session for lunch, and Charlie and I are heading over to Copper River Grill. I'm super excited, and I get there, and things have changed. It's not there no more. Some fish place had taken its place, and I don't even like fish. And so it's no longer the same, and I was sad. You know, all around us, things change. I know that since I've graduated from North Greenville University, a lot of things have changed. Great changes, like they added a Chick-fil-A. I mean, when I was there, they didn't have a Chick-fil-A on campus. Now they have a Chick-fil-A on campus. That's not even right. We all have seen changes in our lives. And I pray that one of those changes that you and I have seen in our lives is that we've grown in our walk with Jesus Christ. I pray that you and I have changed for the better. Today, we're going to look at a powerful passage where three of the disciples of Jesus saw him change. And he changed in a way that proved to them that he was who he says he is. They were able to see his glory, and this would change them. And the closer that you and I get to Jesus, the more we change as well. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 2, and this is the passage known as the Transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." I love verse 6. "Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.' Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage that we see here in Mark chapter 2. As we see the difference that Jesus can make, as we look at who Jesus is, and as we take the time today to be thankful for who Jesus is and what he has done on the cross for us, I pray now that I would sit down and that you would stand up. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take over completely. We thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, the first thing that we see is his glory shows who he is. His glory, the glory of Jesus Christ, shows who he is. And what's interesting about the Gospel of Mark is in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." That is very important for the Gospel of Mark because everything that Mark writes in the entire gospel is to prove and point to the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The entire Gospel of Mark is to help the world see that Jesus is the Christ. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Savior of the world, and that he is, in fact, the Son of God. And so as we begin to look at this passage today, we see that His glory shows us who He is. And it says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and He was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them." So there are three that were able to witness this event. As we know, Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them was not so good. But He had 12 disciples, but there were three that was known as His inner circle. There were three that got to see more, do more, and take part of more. And that was Peter, James, and John. And here we see that Peter, James, and John go with Jesus alone on a high mountain. And what these three men were about to witness would change their lives as they would see the incredible glory of Jesus Christ. Peter would later mention along the lines of this event in his letter. And so it's incredible to see how this event would change their lives. This helps you and I to see that the closer we get to Jesus, the more of the kingdom that we're able to see. If you guys want to see a move of the kingdom of God, if you're here this morning and you're like, you know what? I would love to see God move like never before. Grow closer to Jesus and you will. The closer we grow to Jesus, the more we're able to witness the power and the glory and the kingdom of God on the move. And so as we think about that, how close to Jesus do you want to get? It's a question I want each of us to think about today. How close to Jesus do we want to get? And then I want us to answer this question: how close are we to Jesus? Where are we in our walk with Jesus Christ? If we want to see the glory of the kingdom of God more and more, then we need to draw closer and closer to Jesus Christ. We need to get as close to Him as we possibly can. So as these three, they're on the mountain with Jesus, they see Jesus changed. Now, we can read this passage and often be like, oh, his clothes changed. And it was a lot more than that. The word that's used here for transfigured, it means to be changed from the inside out. So it was not just his clothes that was changed. They caught a glimpse of the glorified Jesus Christ. They caught a glimpse of what Jesus looks like after His resurrection, after He ascends to heaven. They caught a glimpse of the true form of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. These three men caught an incredible glimpse of the glory of God. One commentary says, "The transfiguration was a brief glimpse of Jesus' true glory, God's divine affirmation of everything Jesus had done and was about to do. The transfiguration clearly revealed not only that the disciples were correct in believing Jesus to be the Messiah, but that their commitment was well placed and their eternity was secure. Jesus was truly the Messiah, the divine Son of God." So what does the transfiguration prove? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Another commentary says, "The deity of Jesus broke through His humanity so that it was undeniably visible. This glimpse of glory was a sneak peek of the glory of the coming kingdom." They saw His glory. Oh, how we need to see the glory of Jesus in this place. Oh, how we need to see the glory of Jesus in our lives. Oh, how we need to see the glory of Jesus in our world. When we look at our world and we see everything that's wrong with it, our world needs Jesus. Our world needs the glory of God to come and take over this place. We need to be like Moses when Moses cried out, "Lord, show me Your glory." When is the last time that you and I cried out and said, "God, I want to see Your glory. Jesus, I want to see Your glory. Holy Spirit, I want You to come in and take over. I want to see Your glory in my life." I wonder if, like James, we don't have because we don't ask. James in his letter says, "You have because you do not ask." When is the last time we cried out and said, God, show me your glory? When is the last time we cried out, Jesus, I want to see you. I want you to move in your life. Do we see the glory of Jesus? Do we see him for who he is? The glory that these three saw prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So the first thing that proves Jesus is who he says he is his glory. The second thing that we see in the text is that the law and the prophets show who he is. In verse 4 and 6 it says, and Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Jesus, and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. So Moses and Elijah show up. Peter, James, and John, they're sitting here. They see Jesus changed in this miraculous, incredible way. Then they look up and see Moses and Elijah. One thing that this helps us to see is there is life after death. And we know that Moses had died, and here he shows back up. Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets, and both the law and the prophets point to Jesus. Commentary says, the law, however, was given to drive people to Jesus, and the prophets gave predictions about Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is far above the law and the prophets. So they look up, they see Moses. Moses is there. Moses is the giver of the law under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Moses is the writer of the first five books of the Bible, which is known as the Torah, which is the Hebrew word for law. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are authored by Moses and are called the law. Therefore, Moses represents the law. The law shows us why we need Jesus. If you have ever read through those five books of the Bible, especially Leviticus, you see a lot of things that you can't do. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Just read Exodus 20 and the Ten Commandments. There's 10 things that no matter how hard we try, we can't keep. I mean, one of those is don't bear false witness. Another one is don't be jealous. And so no matter how hard we try, we cannot keep the Ten Commandments. When we look back and we see Adam and Eve is given one command. Don't eat from this one tree. They can't even keep one. So if they can't keep one, how in the world can you and I keep thousands? And so the law points to why we need Jesus. We need Jesus because God is holy. Because God is perfect. And no matter how hard we try, we cannot be perfect. And so we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. Jesus is the prophet like Moses. Moses said that a time would come when a prophet like him would arise. In Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses says, the Lord your God will rise up for you, a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. Jesus is the prophet like Moses. And so Moses is there representing the law, which points to our need for Jesus. Well, not only is Moses there, but Elijah is there. Elijah was a prophet that was so close to God to the point that God took him off the earth. Elijah was, and then he was not. That's how close to God he was. Elijah represents the prophets, and the prophets point us to Jesus. The prophets show us where the Savior would be born, how the Savior would suffer, how the Savior would die. The fact that they show up and talk with Jesus helps us to see that Jesus is greater than the law and the prophets. Talk about the experience these three saw. Imagine being there, seeing Jesus change, seeing the glory of Jesus, then seeing two of the greats of the faith that represent the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, show up. It is from this that we see just how important the Old Testament still is. It drives me crazy when people say the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. We're under the New Testament. Well, if the Old Testament doesn't matter, then why in the world does the New Testament quote it so much? If the Old Testament doesn't matter, why does Jesus quote it? If the Old Testament doesn't matter, then why is Moses and Elijah, that represent the entire Old Testament, the ones that show up and talk to Jesus? The Old Testament is important. The Old Testament matters. It shows us why we need Jesus, the law, and it shows us who the Savior is, the prophets. The law and the prophets, the entire Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. You can take any text, any passage in the entire Old Testament, and you can get to Jesus from it. Because the entire Bible is all about Jesus, and the entire Old Testament points us to Jesus. Well, as all this is going on, we can't forget that Peter's there. We can't forget Peter. Peter does not fully understand what's happening, and he doesn't fully understand Jesus. You know, sometimes we're the same. You know, Peter says, let's build three tabernacles. By building three, Peter was putting Jesus on the same level as the other two. He's saying, let me build a tabernacle for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. This was putting all three on the same level. Jesus ain't on the same level. Peter shows us that sometimes the best thing that we can do is not say anything at all. It says, Peter didn't know what to say, so he just said that. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just be quiet. Peter may be wanting to build to keep them longer. Who wouldn't want to hang out with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah? I mean, who wouldn't want to be there longer and hang out with these three? The glory was so awesome that Peter didn't know what to say. I can't imagine Peter speechless. But yet we see him here not knowing what to say. How often is that us? How often do we not know what to say? Do we fully understand who Jesus is? Do we know that he is the Christ, the Son of God? Do we understand that the entire law and the prophets point to the truth of who Jesus is? If the glory of Christ does not prove to you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if the law and the prophets do not prove to us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then the third testimony that we see here is most powerful because the Father shows who he is. Verse 7 and 8 says, and a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Or listen to him, or obey him. Means the same thing. Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. So the first two testimonies, they're powerful, but the third testimony is the testimony of God the Father. As Peter does not know what to say, a cloud comes, and out of the cloud they hear a voice. The voice is, of course, God the Father speaking to the three, telling them who Jesus is. The Father gives clear evidence who Jesus is. God's response could have been a rebuke of Peter's misunderstanding of trying to put all three on the same level. God's saying, no, 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 my son ain't like them. The message that they hear is the message that you and I need to hear today as well. The message that God the Father proclaimed about God the Son, Jesus Christ, is a message that every single Bible-believing Christian needs to hear in this world today. And not only that, but every single human being needs to hear this truth. First of all, the Father says, this is my beloved Son. This makes clear that Jesus is the Son of God. This fact cannot be denied. He is completely and totally the Son of God. We also see how much the Father loves the Son. He calls Jesus the Beloved. Mark 1:11, when Jesus is being baptized, it says, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. God the Father loves God the Son, Jesus Christ, completely and totally. And this is important. Because the fact that God loves his Son so much helps us to see the great love that God has for you and I, because God sent his beloved Son to die on the cross for our sins.
God loved Jesus so much. God the Father loved the Son so much. But yet he loved us to the point that he sent Jesus to take our place on the cross. The Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our sins. We can't earn it. We can't get it by merit. We can't get it by being a good person. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. And God the Father loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. That is love. The second thing that the Father says is that they need to hear Jesus. That is, they are to listen to him. He says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him," or obey him. There is a need for the people of God to hear what God has to say and actually listen to it. It's kind of fascinating because that was what our Sunday school lesson talked about this morning, was our need to obey the commands of God, our need to do what God says. And there's a lot of people out there that says, we're under grace, we're not under the law, so we can do whatever we want. That ain't true. Yeah, we under grace because it's the grace of God that saves us, but that doesn't give us the right to do whatever we want. The Bible tells us, Old Testament and New Testament, that there is a need to obey God. There is a need to do what he says. Here, God the Father, the creator of the universe, says, obey Jesus. There's no way around it. God said it. There's no way we can make excuses for not obeying Jesus because God the Father clearly says, listen to him. Obey him. Jesus is the Savior of the world and we need to listen to him. Jesus is the Son of God and he is the one that we need to listen to. The closer that we grow to Jesus, the more we see who he is. The more we see who he is, the more we want to listen to him. These three heard the voice of God telling them of their need to listen to Jesus. Today, we have the Word of God telling us our need to listen to Jesus. Today, we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, telling us how to listen to Jesus and helping us to understand what the Word says about Jesus. And so we need to listen and obey what the Master is saying to us. When we look at our world today and we see everything that's wrong with it, we can see that people are not listening to Jesus. If Bible-believing Christians, I said this a couple weeks ago, I'm going to say it again because it's so important. If Bible-believing Christians listened to Jesus, they would not vote for candidates who support abortion. If Bible-believing Christians listened to Jesus, they would not support candidates who are for homosexuality. If Bible-believing Christians obeyed Jesus, they'd be in church. If Bible-believing Christians obeyed Jesus, they would look different than the rest of the world. They would live different, and this world would be a whole different place. But the problem is, we don't listen to Jesus. We do what we want to do. We like to pick and choose. Well, I'm going to listen to Jesus in this area because this lines up with what I believe. But I'm not going to listen to Jesus in this area because I don't want to believe that. You know, I actually had somebody tell me once that I don't care what the Bible says, this is what I believe. Like, did you really just say that? What's wrong with our world today? We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And not only do we need Jesus, but we need to take Jesus seriously. For a long time now, the people of God have not been living their lives for Jesus. We come to church if we don't have something else we're doing. We come to Bible study if we don't have something else going on. We'll read our Bible if we don't have anything else to do. Oh, well, I'm not too concerned about that Bible thing. I've got plenty of time. That's not necessarily true. If we are Bible-believing Christians, If you are here this morning and you say, I have given my heart and my life to Jesus Christ, then you have a duty to obey what Jesus has said. As the people of God, we need to stop listening to the world around us and what the culture says, and we need to listen to what Jesus says. A part of the problem with our world today is we're more concerned about what the culture says. We're more concerned about being politically correct. We're more concerned about being okay with the world than we are about being okay with Jesus. And sadly, all across the country, we are seeing churches compromise. We are seeing churches compromising their faith, their stand for Jesus. We're seeing churches saying that things that the Bible clearly says is wrong is okay. Because some people are more concerned with being popular than being holy. Some people are more concerned about being politically correct than being holy. Some people are more concerned about filling their pews than preaching the truth. We need to stop listening to the world around us, and we need to listen to what Jesus says. Because after they hear the voice, they look up, and now they're alone with Jesus. Verse 8, suddenly when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus. The fact that Jesus alone remains shows that he is greater than the others who were there with him. Jesus alone is all that we need. We don't need more money. We don't need more programs. We don't need a better job. We don't need a better candidate. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. You know, I was at the convention this past week, and one of the speakers said something that really hit me. You know, with all this election going on, people have been talking about a blue wave and a red wave, and he goes, I don't care about a red wave. I want to see a Jesus wave. That's what we need Jesus. We need Jesus to come in and change our hearts and change our lives and transform our minds. We need to be the men and women that God has called us to be. Jesus is our Savior. He gave His life on the cross for our sins. Jesus is our Master. That is, He is our leader. Jesus is our life. Jesus is our everything. We could simply say Jesus is, period. He is all that we need. Our focus should always be on Jesus. All texts in the Bible, the law, the prophets, the entire New Testament point us to Jesus. They look up and they see Jesus. What better place to be than alone with Jesus? You know, again, this might get me in some trouble, but you guys know me well enough to know that I'm okay with that. It really bothers me when good Bible-believing Christians say, I can't wait to get to heaven to see my husband or my grandfather or my grandmother. I'm sorry. I can't wait to get to heaven to see Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I love my family, but I love my Jesus more. And I'm more concerned about getting to heaven to see my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If your reason for going to heaven is seeing your loved ones, you got it wrong. Our reason to go to heaven should be to see Jesus. To be at the feet of Jesus. To be able to be wrapped up in the arms of Jesus. If you go to church for anything other than to meet with Jesus, then we're going to church for the wrong reasons. Our reason to come here should be Jesus. Our reason to go to heaven should be Jesus. Our reason for living should be Jesus. It's all about Jesus. In this text, we see three powerful testimonies that show us the truth about Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Because He is the Christ, because He is the Son of God, there is a need for us to listen to Him. Our world needs to see the glory of the Savior. We need to understand who He is. We need to listen to Him. As we close this morning, what is God saying to us today? Maybe we need to see His glory. Maybe we're here today and we need to cry out, Lord, show me Your glory. Maybe we're here today and we just need to see who Jesus is. Maybe we need to realize Jesus is our Savior and we need to come and accept Him as our Savior to give our heart and our life to Him. Maybe we need to see Jesus as our Master and lay down our own wants and our desires and say, you know what? I need to live for Jesus. Maybe we're here today and we need to listen to Him. Maybe we just need to obey what we're told through the Bible. As we grow in our walk with Christ, we will be changed into something better than we could ever imagine. My final question this morning, how is your walk with Jesus today? How is your walk with Jesus today? Lord, we thank You for this beautiful passage and we thank You for the testimony of who Jesus is. And Lord, we are so thankful and grateful that You loved us so much that You sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We're so grateful and thankful that You have given us the Word of God to help us to know and understand who Jesus is. We're so thankful and grateful that You have given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to help us to know who Jesus is and the love that He has for us and the price that was paid on the cross for our sins. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that does not know You, that today would be the day that they would say yes to Jesus. That they would say, yes, Jesus, You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are the Son of God, and I pledge my life to You. Lord, I pray that today, if there's anyone that doesn't know You, that they would cry out, Lord Jesus, save me. I need You. And Lord, I pray for those of us that have given our hearts and lives to You, that You would help us to listen to You. Lord, I know there are times in my life when I don't listen as I should. And so I ask for Your forgiveness. And I pray, Lord, that You would help me to live a life completely and totally committed to obedience to You. And I pray that for each of us here, that we would be men and women that obey You each and every step of the way. Lord, we thank You. We love You. We give this time to You. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.